Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Getting It Out podcast. That was Hallow Leg. The song was Poison Bite. And that's the first track of their upcoming EP, Dust, to be self-released on May 3rd. It's hard to imagine because I remember when they first came around, but Hallow Leg has been around now for over a decade, almost 15 years, starting in 2010. And so far, they released four LPs. Their last LP was Civilizations in 2019, Argonauta Records. And now they are back with a new batch of tracks on two-part EP, and Dust will be the first of which that we will all be graced with. Excellent mid-tempo, sludge, groove, whatever you want to call it. doom, stoner rock, heavy metal from Florida, of course, featuring the angelic vocals of Scott Angelicos, whose name and sound you might be familiar with from Bloodlet. At this point, though, Hollow Leg holds a place of its own, and they show no signs of slowing down at this point. That's not what this episode of the podcast is about, but you can go check out more from them on streaming services worldwide. This song, Poison Bite, was given the music video treatment, so you can check that out. All those things you can find on gettingitout.net at their artist page. On this episode of the podcast, I'll be speaking to Jorn of Bokassa. What do you know about Bokassa? Whether it's everything or nothing, I'll try to fill in the gaps here in this conversation. But first, how about some Hot Zone?
Kick it! Make family out of friends! Make friends out of enemies! Peace to my family! Make friends till they bury all the places we've been! We're never sitting it out! We be getting it in! Where you getting it out? I said all the places we've been! We're never sitting it out! We'll be getting it in! Where you getting it out?
I feel like I've been slacking lately, slacking and getting episodes out, which wouldn't be fair to me. Last week, I only released one, but the week before I put out three. And the week before that, I was on vacation for a week and out of town and unable to do the damn thing. This past week, I had one day off, but something very important happened in that day, and it would be ridiculous for me to be doing podcasts then. So I got to give myself some grace and say, hey, Dan, you're doing just fine. Release them when you can, when you want, when you will. However, in my defense, for this episode in particular, you could have heard it weeks ago on the gettingitout.net Patreon. You probably heard my little ad at the beginning of this thing. Yes, I've stuck it there for good. Unless you want to pay to advertise there, anybody, you can advertise there. Well, that's not happened. I'll pay myself, baby. By trying to convince you to sign up for the Patreon for just $2 a month, get early ad-free access to all interview episodes of Getting It Out podcast. Just a reminder, thank you very much. Anyway, I've probably gushed about Bokassa before, and I will here in this conversation with vocalist and guitarist and main songwriter Jorn. And I'm not sure if I'll ever get my point across. I want to make sure that everybody hears what I hear. And if you don't, that's just silly. Been a fan of the band for quite a while, and their latest LP, All Out of Dreams, dropped February 16th on Indie Recordings. I can't remember if I talked to Jorn before or after that release date. Regardless, I've been listening to that album weekly since then. It's anthemic. It's awesome. It's punk rock. It's hardcore. It's heavy metal. It's plain old rock and roll. It's all sorts of things that my ears like and love. The record for the first time features guests. You got Lou Kohler from Sick of It All and Aaron Beam from Red Fang. That right there shows the depth and the variety in the artists, their influence and considered peers. If you like Clutch or Helmet or The Vandals, you'll find something in Bokassa that's for you. If you like Comeback Kid and Metallica, there's something in Bokassa for you. If you live in Norway, that's where they're at right now, doing a little bit of a touring, specifically in their country. I think they're done for the month, but they'll be picking back up in early April, playing in a lot of places that I can't pronounce. And I don't see any signs of them coming to the US, but if you're over there in Euroland for the festival circuit, you'll find Bokassa, I'm sure of it. And how will you know them? You'll hear the catchiest melodic rock and roll you have in years. Need an example? I got that for you. How about this? Garden of Heathen by Bokassa. And then my conversation with Jorn.
We'll be right back.
Which is that? Because you guys got started in what year?
And we started in April 2013. So we're 11 years as a band and yeah, a couple of months.
Where does it start for you? I don't know. Would you call it underground music? Would you call it punk? Would you call it rock? I don't. What was your band early on? What made you interested in playing music?
I mean, I have different bands. Like it started, I think, as a very small kid with like Aerosmith and Guns N' Roses, and then like some couple years from that, maybe when I was like 11, 12, then I discovered bands like, you know, NoFX, Bad Religion, Propaganda, No Use for Name. And then maybe around 15, then I discovered like Slayer, Fu Manchu, Corrosion of Conformity, a lot of those kind of bands. So that's kind of those, I think that are the three like vital parts in me.
It's interesting because I hear all that in what you're doing now.
I appreciate that. That's kind of what I like musically. I like, you know, these kind of I like that type of riffage that kind of those bands do, and I also like a song to have a certain hook, to have like melodies, just to have all these parts, and I like to get to the point, which I feel all of these bands do. So I guess it's an, you know, it's a fusion of all the things I like in our music.
That's very cool. And like I said, I do hear that a lot. When you mentioned Aerosmith and Guns N' Roses, are you talking like those early 90s Aerosmith records?
Yes. Actually, it's the Get a Grip record. Probably one of the first, if not the first CD I ever bought. Because I saw like the Living on the Edge had a music video.
Right.
And I saw it on like Norwegian TV. They rarely showed that kind of stuff. And because Norway was like, just had one channel on up until like, I don't know, mid 90s. And that was NRK. And so, and you know, once in a light year, they showed something else. And I remember they showed that Living on the Edge video with Steven Tyler and his like makeup dancing around.
Oh, nuts.
I thought it was the coolest thing ever. But since I was very small, I didn't really get the name Aerosmith. So I just remember going to like, whenever I was with my parents and they were shopping, then I go to the CD store and I asked for like, I thought it was called Eurosmith or Eurosport very long.
Yeah.
Until one day this guy was like, "Do you mean Aerosmith?" And then he let me listen to the record and I was like, "Yes." so that's where I kind of started being a fan of that.
That's interesting. We must be of a similar age because I remember growing up and seeing those same music videos. There was like Living on an Edge. There's obviously the album Get a Grip, Pump, Crying. You know, like, man, I forget what other ones were, but it felt like when I was young, there was a lot of Aerosmith on the TV and radio, and it was that specific Aerosmith. Like to me, that was the Aerosmith, not the earlier stuff that everybody, you know, now knows, of course, but, it was that 90s stuff that really stuck out to me.
Yeah, I completely agree. I had this discussion with someone once because it was like very clear that he had just gotten into Aerosmith and was just like, only thing that works is like old Aerosmith stuff, like pre 1980. And I was like, no, that's not true. You know, that's fine. But, you know, like 90s Aerosmith is fucking awesome, you know?
Yeah, totally agree. I totally agree. That's awesome. And like I said, we must be of a similar age if we have memories like that. But also Guns N' Roses. And then you mentioned like all those fat wreck bands.
Yeah, I feel like for me, my Guns N' Roses record is Usual Illusion 2, which I think is like near a perfect album. There's a couple fillers there and one crazy song, but other than that, I think it's like their magnum opus. And for the fat wreck thing, it was just for me revolutionary. Also because I come from a very, very small town with under 6,000 people in Norway, and there's like two churches there and everything. So growing up and not really being into religion at all, when you see the Crossbuster and hear Bad Religion and hear like the lyrics of NoFX and stuff, that kind of just, yeah, it was to me at least very like I don't know, it set my path in life, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And that's interesting you talk about that. I feel like I've talked to a lot of Norwegian artists lately. Actually, last week I was talking to Øystein from Borknagar, but you know, kind of two different routes you can take in the time with getting into to extreme or underground music, I should say.
Yeah, absolutely. They've taken a different path than us, I guess.
For sure. But two very cool and both very catchy bands, actually. It's interesting. So I noticed not only because you said the Fat Wreck stuff, but I feel like, and I don't even remember if it's on this new record, All Out of Dreams, I've heard you reference Fat Wreck compilations. I've heard you reference NOFX. I know you say that on this new band or on this new record. I've also heard you talk about Hardcore and Judge and Chain of Strength, but something about Kid Rock and whatever. Like, I love the way you throw these references into your songs. They don't all sound overly serious, but there's still something insanely catchy about nearly every one of them. You do a great job with this, is what I really wanted to make sure I point out and tell you that I appreciate today.
Thank you. I appreciate you getting those references. Not everybody does, but I always I like it when people do. It's cool to hear that people listen.
Yeah, man. Yeah, there's a lot to dig into with your music, and that's one of the reasons why I appreciate it so much. But one of the things I do have a hard time doing is if someone were to ask me what Bokassa is, what it sounds like, I don't know what I would tell them other than rock music. I see a lot of weird genre tags thrown at you. A lot of stuff, people saying stoner rock, which I don't really hear at all, but there's plenty of like hardcore stuff and punk stuff. You even have Luke Kohler from Sick of It All as a guest on this record. Tell me about finding this sound that you've, to me, it's like totally original about how you put together.
Yeah. I think it's become a curse. The fact that when we started, we just made up our own moniker, like stoner punk, just because, you know, like riffage, kind of like Fu Manchu, Queens of the Stone Age, at least not Queens of the Stone Age now, but maybe earlier Queens of Stone Age, that kind of Caius riffage, you know, teamed up with like punk and hardcore. So we thought, yeah, stoner punk. I remember doing like a search on it. We didn't find anything. So we were like, yeah, let's call ourselves stoner punk. But to me, it seems that whole thing, we should have just said like called ourselves metal punk or something, because every time people are like, but you are not stoner rock, and then they're like, but you
like
are
I just
punk
did
rock. yeah. But people like this and we have like a very eclectic discography. There are songs there that are 40 seconds, one song is 8 minutes, so it is like a mixture of everything. So we are very hard to pigeonhole, which I see people can be like, no, but they are like a metal band. And I wouldn't necessarily call us that, because I think we have, if you're a person who like, if you, for example, if you like Comeback Kid, but you also enjoy like Propaganda, but you may also like Slayer and Monster Magnet, you know, if you just enjoy subgenres and everything in rock, metal, punk, then I think you will find our music quite up your sleeve, because there is something there from everything that I love, I guess. But I think like if you look at like bands that make it really big, they usually go for one genre, because I think it's easier for people, so they can say, yeah, no, that's a hard rock band. Well, that's punk rock. So I think that we probably could have made life easier on ourselves, but then again, then we wouldn't necessarily enjoy the music, if you understand what I mean.
Sure. And that's it. I didn't know that the stoner punk thing was the thing that you guys came up with. And that makes actually more sense than what I thought other people were describing you guys as, a stoner rock band. So that actually clears it up for me. That makes way more sense.
Because we started off from the get-go just calling ourselves Kings of Stoner Punk, which I thought was like everybody was get it, that it was like a tongue-in-cheek nod to Poison Idea and their Kings of Punk. Everybody was like, they're so arrogant. We're like, what?
That's cool. So yeah, this is why I like these conversations. I dig in, learn a little more. I already like the band. Now I'm learning more, you know, about the backing behind it. That's very cool. All Out of Dreams came out officially February 16th. Fourth full length. You dropped a bunch of singles out before it was, but tell me about like releasing a record. What is the best part for you about releasing a new record?
I guess when it's out, because then since we are self-managed we're involved in everything. So for me, at least, it's a stressful time leading up to that. So when the record's finally out, then I can kind of relax. But what I like is to see when we get some good reviews, when we get some good, when people seem to enjoy it, when you kind of feel, okay, this time around, you know, people are getting it, something like that kind of feeling there. Mm-hmm. I think that's the best. But the best part of a record is actually making it, I think, not in the studio, but when you just write the songs and you're like, oh shit, this is a good chorus, when you're just sitting by yourself with a guitar. That's what I enjoy, to create it. Everything else is kind of a bonus.
Do you create a record and then kind of stop making new music or writing or trying to do music until you get like one record processed, or do you continually write?
I used to continually write. This record, for example, has been some of the songs are from 2020, three of them that we reamped in 2022, and the rest is from 2022. But then I have like four or five new songs now since it's been a while. But I have forced myself to stop and not write anything, just because I got a bit sick of us always having a new record. Mm. While the other ones was fresh. So this time around, I'm going to, usually around the time that our new record was out, we've already written the next.
Right.
So this time around, I haven't an urge to write anything yet. I think maybe because this record has taken more time, you know, with label stuff and everything. So I've been waiting on this one.
That's cool, but it seems like you're going to savor it a little bit longer, or maybe more so. That's just like a general learning curve. I don't know, finding your own personal preference, because maybe you'll do it this way and then go, I prefer it the other way.
Yeah, I think also now our bassist for 7 years, he told us in December that he quits. So now we got a new guy coming in, and I think maybe it's cool to not have everything finished on the next record. Maybe he can come up with something. Because I asked him quite early about that. I had like a bucket list in my head of what I wanted in a new bass player. So I just asked him, do you write any riffs? And he has another band, which is written everything in it. And that's kind of, I think it's pretty assuring to me, because I write the songs later years. I have gotten like a riff here and there from some of the others, which is cool because it takes a little bit of the pressure off for me. And it's kind of inspiring also to get like a riff you didn't write yourself, and you can work on that. So the fact to get someone in that also can contribute, I think it's pretty cool.
That is cool. And I'm sure, like you said, it'll take some pressure off. That's nice to have another contributor.
Yeah, because you feel like, at least I feel like, that is up to me to write this record, because no one else is going to write a song, you know. And sometimes you're like, oh man, can't somebody else come up with something? So to have something, just a little riff here and there, and just like a bridge part, maybe someone comes up with a riff, which has happened like a couple of times. You know, they are good riffs, and it also, I think it feels like it's more of, you know, I think the other guys maybe get more sense of ownership on that, those particular songs. Maybe, I don't know. That's just how I think maybe.
Yeah. No, I, for sure. I think anybody, as long when you got more of a fingerprint on it, you're going to care about it more and maybe push a little harder.
Yeah.
The new record is I'm going to keep repeating, is out now, All Out of Dreams, Indie Recordings. Have you been with Indie Recordings for a while? You mentioned some label stuff.
No, this is our first release with Indie Recordings.
Okay, I thought so.
We have actually all of our records are on different labels. And for the first one, of course, being our own label, and then we were on a British label, and then the last world album, Molto Rock, that was on Napalm Records. So we initially had a very long record contract with them that we got out of, and then signed with Indie.
Gotcha. Okay. I thought so. I didn't think you had been with anybody for a long time, but you know, I never know.
No, we're kind of like nomadic in that behavior, I guess. It's just, yeah, you know, try something new until it works.
Hey, as long as you can do it, man, good for you. I know a lot of people are even just trying to get away from the labels in general, but if you can just kind of pick and choose one by one, that's great.
Yeah, because I mean, our initial plan for this album was to do it ourselves. We kind of, what's it called, treaded the water. So we tested it out with like a cover. We had like a Motorhead cover that we released early summer last year because we just wanted to see, because like the distribution part of it, it's no problem do it ourselves. We've been doing it ourselves for years on some of our releases, but it's the digital, you know, to get like those playlists that are so integral in these days. So we just released one digital song just a test, and it didn't go well at all. You know, there was zero lists, and nobody seemed to, you know, notice that it was out. So we were like, okay, and then we maybe not. Also, we tried with a couple other songs that were just like remixes of an old, and it didn't. So I think if you want that part of it, then you need like a label who can push, because we sure as hell don't know how to do it, because we know the physical part is no problem, but for me it seems like the PR part and the digital part, that's where the label's good.
That's interesting. And I hate the fucking playlist thing, man. I can't stand it. I don't listen to music that way. I hate how it drives so much of what you guys have to do. It's to me, it sucks because I love an album as an album. That's how I want to listen to stuff.
Yeah. But I mean, to be fair, I don't understand who listens to this playlist anyways. Because when I when I listen to it, I'm like, oh shit, this is just a lot of bad bands.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Right. but to be fair, we don't do any because I can hear those bands and I'm like, shit, you guys just make music that sounds the same to get in those Spotify lists. You know, they have the same fucking drum samples and those, I don't know, watered down metalcore shit. They just sound like, you know, bad versions of Bring Me the Horizon. I like Bring Me the Horizon, but there's a lot of copycats out there just doing this stuff, I feel, and to get in those playlists. So we're not changing our sound. We just want to be there anyways, you know?
you got to say this. The playlists are at least good for people who want to discover stuff that way, but maybe it's just a age thing, you know?
Yeah, I think, I guess that's probably the thing. Maybe if you're like a younger generation, because for me, I thought, you know, growing up, I on the radio, there was never anything cool, you know?
Yeah.
I guess people who like the Strokes or something like that, or that kind of era of that kind of rock, I guess they would disagree, but I never did like that. So for me, there was never like a place to discover music other than, you know, reading about it in fucking Kerrang or just going to record stores and stuff.
Yeah.
So I guess for me, the people just curate the playlist. I don't like it because usually I don't like what's on that playlist.
You know, it's interesting though. We both talked about it earlier. The compilations. This is pretty. It's in some way similar to like compilations from our past that we like. You mentioned Fat Wreck compilations on your records, I think.
Yeah, I guess.
But it's different.
I guess that's kind of our generation's players. Because when you think about it, all those Fat Wreck for fat people kind of thing. And Epitaph Punk-O-Rama, and you know, that's how I discovered a lot of bands as well.
Yeah, me too.
So I guess that's kind of, but that's again, that's more if they had like pure genre playlists, I guess. Mm-hmm. They might do, but I just don't. I don't think it's the same kind of. I might be wrong here, but I feel often like those. It's more an algorithm to choose than like a curator these days. And maybe I'm an old man yelling at cloud, but you know, it doesn't feel necessarily like it's the best songs that you find in these playlist things.
No, I agree with you. We're both the old men yelling at the cloud, but that's okay. There's a lot of us old men, you know. Unfortunately, there's more clouds there. Well, there's one song on the new record I kind of mentioned earlier, but I wanted to ask you about more because I've been listening to it over and over and trying to catch all the lyrics and all the meaning behind it and blah, 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 all these things. But it seems so interesting to me. And that's Straight Edgelord. I hear the references, like I mentioned before. What is going on in that lyric? Can you help me make sense of what you're talking about in that? Because I see the lyrics aren't on Bandcamp. They aren't on Spotify. They're hidden from me. And I need to know what you're saying, what you're talking about.
No. Yeah, no, it's kind of, I think that song is kind of a thing that I do on many of my songs that I'm portraying like something with another story. Because what that song is really about is just people lying to themselves and convincing themselves that they're not doing anything, you know, unusual or other than that. And this protagonist in the songs is a straight edger who's kind of slipping out of that, but keep lying to himself. So it's more of on a broader spectrum kind of. The thing is just about you lying to yourself and failing in what you're set out to do. That's what the song is about. And then just a tongue-in-cheek kind of story is just the layer on top. And it's not, I read someone in a review said that was mocking straight edges, which is, I'm not, it's just a story. And I like to lace it with my references and stuff. But that's kind of just what that song is about, because a lot of those songs on that record is about, you know, giving up and failing. And that's just one of those songs, if that makes sense.
It does. Does that go along with like an overlying theme for the whole record?
Yeah. To be fair, like a lot of our lyrics are, you know, people, since I can't, you know, I have to sometimes use a good pun in the title. Mm-hmm. So people always seem to think that like our lyrics are the funny lyrics, which I disagree with. I think because now I see a lot of people have like written now that it's a darker album, and maybe it is, but also we've always written about darker subject. We just had like a more of a tongue in cheek approach to it all. Mm-hmm. But I took a look, you know, deciding which what to call the album. I took a look at the lyrics, and it dawned on me that like. Almost every song is about like someone failing in something, or maybe someone failed them, or resignation. It's kind of just a bleak hopelessness all over the records. So I thought like initially the album title was Everyone Fails in the End, which was kind of, I thought, a cool nod to like a Weezer record, one of the best on the 2010s, and a Converge record. But I thought it was maybe too spelled out for people. So I thought All Out of Dreams was a more like a cryptic title that you can interpret how you want to.
Yeah. And now that you say it, it all makes sense. You made a good point about the, I don't know. So sometimes Bokassa comes across like it's being, like you're being silly. But like you said, I mean, I don't think it takes much digging to see that there's seriousness in the songs as well. So, but you know, it's, a lot of times it's hard for people to get past the first image or, you know, like you said, the puns. But I think the people who stick around are going to find that it's there's a lot more to it.
Yeah, yeah, I think so too as well. And I get it because, you know, I'm very conscious on those all those tough guy kind of, you know, band promos and band videos. So we've tried to avoid that for the most part during our career, you know, try to do a more like easy tongue-in-cheek kind of like from the Fat Wreck scene kind of those, and then also like the Stone Rock scene, those kind of promo shots, so we don't everybody stands in like a arms crossed in the woods looking angry. Yeah. You know, we right. try to not do that.
Abandoned warehouse. And maybe then,
yeah. And then you maybe you come across as more goofy, which is fine, I guess. And also in the music videos, like earlier years, we have done more like a tongue in cheek thing. But this time around, just because there was some videos there that we are not happy with at all, that like really didn't turn out how we hoped. So whenever I see him, especially our drummer, and to a certain degree also me, but every time we see him, we're like reminded, that went really wrong. But this time around, we didn't do a warehouse, but we just did like a playthrough, kind of just with some cool, some colors. But it's initially not a story, because sometimes those story music videos, they can turn out good, which I think they did in our Burn It All video. But they have also examples where they didn't turn out good. I'm not going to say the name of the video because I don't want the people involved to you know be sad about it. But we personally don't like them, so we try to avoid that this time around.
Well, I'm glad you didn't. I'm glad you didn't bail on the kind of theme you have going on with your album artwork. I don't know if I'd call it a theme. I don't know. Is it a theme? Are all these records visually? There's something that's similar about the album covers, but I mean, other than the logo, the I don't know. Is the same artist? Why do these all look vaguely similar to me?
I don't know. No, it's not. It's four completely different artists, actually. But I think maybe the reason they look similar is because I have picked all of these album covers myself while scrolling Instagram.
Oh, like, wow, that's looking, where you get them?
Yeah, I'm looking for artists, so maybe I like what I like, and maybe that's what comes across, that when I see something like that I like it. Maybe actually we did have another cover. We got for the first time like a cover that was specially drawn for us. But we decided like to scrap it and maybe we're going to use it as like a special edition somewhere down the line. But then we went for this, which is a guy called Massive Face, which actually he did some merch for us many, many years ago. I'm really happy about it because it also, I think it works very well with the All Out of Dreams title. And the kind of cryptic thing with someone going in to the head of a giant.
Yeah.
Which I think it actually kind of looks like a prog rock record, if you think about it. You know?
Yeah, it must be for me. It must just be the logo and the album title, how you have that the same, that makes it all look so similar to me. Because you're right, I'm looking through all of them right now. I'm like, yeah, there is really nothing similar about them. It's got to be just the layout that... It's got to be.
It could be the style. Maybe the artists have like something in the style that are similar. Maybe I don't know.
Maybe I'm having a stupid moment. You know, it could be. Well, all right. So The way you're, and I brought this up a couple of times, is how catchy your songs are. And I know everybody does, but there's got to be, I don't know, how did you learn to craft such a consistently catchy and hooky choruses? Because I feel like if everybody could do it, everybody would do it. This has got to be like a certain type of skill you have with the way you come up with these melodies. Where did you pick this up? How do you do it?
I don't know. But thank you. I don't know. I mean, like choruses and melodies is always something that I, when I listen to like a new song from a new band, it could be like just thrash metal, it could be like metalcore or something like that. I always look for the chorus. And that's often what sticks. And I mean, since I was very little, I listened to a lot of Beatles and a lot of those. My parents listened to a lot of pop music with a lot of hooks and choruses. And so I guess maybe there's something there. And also like all of these, like, bands like Bad Religion, Alkaline Trio, and stuff that I've been listening to all my life, they have these choruses, they have these melodies. So I guess it's just, for me, it comes natural that's the thing I focus on. And like when I write a song, it's melodies, and I don't have like a, I don't know why, but you know, I wouldn't say easy, but it seems to come quite naturally for me to write hooks and melodies.
Well, to me, it's like a total gift. It's a pretty cool thing to be good at.
Yeah. I mean, I can't play. If you asked me to do like, can you play that solo? I couldn't, but I can write you a chorus.
That's good. That's all you need, man. Sometimes that's all you need. You mentioned your bassist. So he's out of the band or working his way out of the band, and you're bringing in somebody new. Is it important for Bokassa to stay a trio?
Yeah, it is now. I mean, we had like when we got that call from Metallica because of Lars Ulrich, you know, we were, you know, we didn't have a label, we didn't have booking agents, we had management, it was just us three. And then, you know, when we understood the size of their venues, little stadiums with 80,000, then we were like, oh shit, is three people gonna cut it? So we had like a little crack in faith, or what's that one where we're like, oh shit, we have to get in a little doubt. And then we actually tried. We had one very short rehearsal with the second guitar player. But then I just realized while we were playing that since we've been playing these years with just one guitar player, that I had, learned how to play to cover it in the elements where there is, whereas in the studio, two guitars, I have kind of mastered how to play it on one. Mm-hmm. So I kind of realized that, okay, we actually don't need it. And so as long as we play tight and then it works. So after that, we kind of just got our confidence. And especially now that we did, well, like 25 stadium dates as a trio. And now we will never be more than a trio, I think. Only reason it has to be if someone can come in and do like be like a prodigy that can do every single different instrument. For example, that we can do on the one song that we have strings and maybe keys on one. If we get someone like that and also can sing and do everything in
just
one.
Get maybe, a DJ, but, man. Go nu metal. Just get a DJ.
Get a DJ and tracks and stuff.
Yeah, just get a guy scratching. Put some scratches in it. It'll go well eventually. It'll come back around in the stadiums.
I mean, I think it is. I've just seen, it seems like nu metal is back now, like Creed. I don't know if you can call them nu metal, but I saw that.
I would not call Creed nu metal, but I would call them whatever is respectful, man. They got some hits.
Yeah. Like it's post grunge, I guess it is. Because I saw this poster the other day, it was like Three Doors Down and Stained were out on tour. And I was like, oh, because Stained is kind of new metal, isn't it? They got one foot in new metal and one in post-grunge, maybe.
I'd say that's fair, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess it's back. And also seeing, I don't remember what band it was. Was it Cold Chamber? I just saw, one band was back.
They're around. They exist in some capacity these days. Nu metal's having a bit of a resurgence, but maybe it did a year or two ago, and it's just kind of lingering around. So I don't got no problem with it. It can be here. I loved it at a time too. But
I've always been a defender of Limp Bizkit. So
oh Jesus! Let me tell you this, Jorn. I used to have a whole wall in my house dedicated to Limp Bizkit. So I think we're basically the same person in different continents. Nice. Except I'm not good at writing choruses.
I remember they did. It was 2 years ago now when that comeback album came. Still Sucks, I think it's called.
I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, I think that I still listen to that the first single. It was just about 2 minutes or something like that. What's it called?
When he
started dressing like a dad, Fred Durst in the music. That was a cool song. It's a cool song.
Hey, they can do whatever they want as far as I'm concerned. I wouldn't say that I'm too in tune with what's happening with them right now, but I always say my whole thing about, I've said this several times on this before. I've been doing this for 7 years. The minute that I get a Fred Durst interview, I'm done. That's it. It can't go. We can't do any better. So
that's the Holy Grail.
That's Fred Durst. That's it. speaking of, this is actually a good segue for you. Question for you. Speaking of Holy Grails, big things. You guys kind of have hit it big early on as far as tours, experiences. Of course, you mentioned Metallica. What is the expectation for Bokassa at this point? Like, how do you expect it or want it to progress? I mean, obviously you want it to get bigger and better, but like realistically, what's next for this year for Bokassa?
I mean, the thing with us, we peaked in 2019. I mean, we played, you know, that tour was for 1.5 million people. That's how many tickets Metallica sold. You know, of course, we didn't play for 1.5 people, but I'm pretty sure we played for, you know, at least under 1 mil on all those stadiums. So for us, you know, we can never top that.
Right.
You know, it's impossible. How are we going to top that? Okay, maybe.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Actually, sorry to interrupt you. It's funny is the last episode that I put out was with Hatebreed's drummer, and his bucket list thing was to tour with Metallica, which is something that you guys have already done.
Yeah. It's a good bucket list. And if people, I wouldn't even have it on my bucket list because it would be so unrealistic. But, you know, it did happen. It's one of those strange anomalies. But now I guess, you know, because since we never had a lot of bands most bands that do that stuff have something, you know, support around them, then, you know, help them do good decision. Maybe they have a label doing this and that and stuff. And we have always been very chaotic there when it comes to that. So I guess this year, you know, we haven't even booked the album's out. We have a Norwegian tour and we have some summer festivals, but we haven't even booked European and UK tour at this point, which I'm a bit stressed out about, to be fair. So that's kind of why I hope this year that we finally get to, you know, to book that tour.
Yeah.
Because usually they are. What's it called? They are booked in advance, maybe a year, at least many, many months, you know? So I just hope, we can get to maintain I hope we get to tour this record, because the last record, we didn't really get to tour because of the pandemic. So I hope that we get to tour this record. So people don't forget it for a band our size. It's often, to stay relevant is often to play those festivals and to go on tour. So I hope that will happen.
Hey, my warning, don't be guess I'm dying tonight.
So there you have it. That was my conversation with Jorn. The song you heard was Let's Storm the Capitol from All Out of Dreams, available now everywhere you might get music. I want to thank Jorn for his time, for his conversation, for the hooks. I'm a big fan, and I want to make that as clear as possible. I think I have at this point, but just in case I didn't, it's worth saying one more time. Thank you, Bokassa. Thank you, the loyal listeners, for making it this far into the podcast. If you're here now, I want to encourage you to go over to gettingitout.net, check out what's going on over there. For a while, I was pumping out reviews, but then I got too busy, too many vacations, which I know sounds ridiculous. Too many vacation days. Days off meant doing things that that required taking time and focus to do them, which of course always means getting it out goes on the back burner. And that's okay. It's back onto the front burner for now. We'll see how long that lasts. Hoping to bring you a new Punks and Dunks episode this week. We'll see if that happens. That is on the third burner. I grab it when I can. If I see it boiling over, I touch it. To confirm that it's hot, then I consider making something with it. If you're looking for some commentary on March Madness, you're not going to get it from me. My bracket shows I am no expert. But what you are going to get from me is one more song to take you out of this podcast. They're a band that I've been listening to a lot lately after having that conversation with MC from Skid Row Garage about the upcoming 15-year anniversary show. They're out of Philadelphia. They're called Freeze MF. And I wasn't familiar with them aside from seeing their name until that conversation. And now I'm excited that they're playing the show. If you happen to be local and like what you hear, you can catch them with Negative Approach on July 20th at the 15-year Skid Row Garage anniversary show in York, Pennsylvania. And if that's too far away from you, then here, just listen to their track Cold Soul. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
So
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.